God has a mission for your life that's so much greater than the mission you're tempted to settle for. Let me say that again. God has a mission for your life that's so much greater than the missions you're tempted to settle for. In fact, when Jesus rolls out his public ministry, Mark chapter 1, he starts his ministry. You know, he's grown up, he's about 30 years old, and you know, he was a little boy and grew up and, you know, learning the scriptures and stuff like that. And he chooses to unveil his public ministry, to start his public ministry, by first going to a couple fishermen named Andrew and Simon Peter. Now, when you think of the disciples, when you think of these fishermen, Andrew and Simon Peter, I don't want you to think of like a stained glass window. You know, we see these saints, these disciples who are in stained glass windows, and it's like, oh, they have like this perfect life. But these guys were like, they're like the guys from Deadliest Catch. Have you ever seen that TV show? I mean, these are like rough and gruff kind of guys. And Jesus goes to these like normal guys that, you know, weren't like incredibly religious in their life. And he goes to them. And what's interesting about this is because they were fishermen, they were the kind of people that were kind of the not good enoughs. Every Jewish boy had to be trained up in the scriptures, and you had to learn at an early age the first five books of the entire Bible, and you had to memorize every single word in every single book. In fact, some of us, I have trouble memorizing even one verse, and yet here Jesus is, in the Old Testament, every Jewish boy had to memorize every single word in Genesis all the way to Deuteronomy in the Bible. And so after that time, they kind of weeded some people out, and what they were trying to do was to see who was good enough to be a rabbi. And so these guys, by this time, they weren't skilled enough for any rabbi to come to them and to offer to be their student. And so these rabbis had sent them home to carry on the family trade. And so they were fishermen. Their family had always been fishermen. So they fished. That's what they did. And so it would have been easy, as they cast their nets day after day into the Sea of Galilee, it would be easy to just look at that and think that their mission had to do with just catching the next big fish. That's my mission. I'm a fisherman. I'm here to fish. Or maybe just my mission is to provide for my family, earn an honest income. My mission maybe is to just make it through the work week. Amen. Some of us are there, right? This is the disciples. This is where they were. And Jesus comes to them. They've never been asked by anybody to come follow them. And Jesus says something crazy in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. He says this, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Now, nobody had ever come to them, and yet this rabbi Jesus came to them and said, "Come follow me." And it was one of those things where it was the first time in their life. They didn't know what that meant. Fishing for people, I don't know. But it was the first time in their life when anybody had ever said to them, "You can follow us, not because you're good enough, but because I'm going to make you good enough. Come follow me, and I'll teach you to do what only I can do. I'll teach you to do what I do." And he handed them off not only his love, but also his mission. In fact, it says in verse 18, when they heard the words that Jesus said, the calling, he says this, and it says this, "At once they dropped their nets and they followed him." They left everything that their life once was because they found a greater mission for their life. So let me say to you again, God has a mission for your life that's so much greater than the missions you're tempted to settle for. Today we're in the final week of our series called "What on Earth Am I Here For?" And we've been talking about five purposes God has for your life. They're all seen in the Bible. Five purposes. And these are bigger than what do I want to be when I grow up, or what am I supposed to do when I get older? Most of us have already kind of figured that out. But these are the big rocks, the five big things that every single person God has called all of us to be part of. And so in week one, we talked about everything starts with the reality of God's love. God loves us so much. In fact, we gave out free t-shirts. Some of you are wearing them today that say, "People matter. People matter." And the reason we gave those out is because before we get to anything about our purpose and what on earth am I here for, it all starts with the reality that people matter to God. And because God loves you so much, our first purpose in life is to love God back, to worship God in everything we do. That's purpose one. We talked in week two, our second purpose is to have fellowship with other believers. So you're not made to do life alone, and you're not made to do faith alone. But God wants you to come into his family, a place to belong, a place to get connected, and a place that you can serve. And then we talked, your third purpose is to grow up. To grow up in the faith, to become more and more like Jesus. God wants to do that in your life. And last week, if you were here, we talked about that was all the stuff God does in us. And now we started getting into the reality of what God wants us to do. The fourth purpose is that you're shaped to serve God and to serve others. You're shaped to serve God and serve others. Well, today we're going on the fifth purpose. And this is really comes from the Great Commission. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But it's the reality that your fifth purpose is that God wants you to help other people to get connected to God. In fact, we were just singing the song, Lord, we stand amazed in your presence. And it was awesome. Adam, you know, is like melting in our hearts and all that stuff as he's singing. But we're standing in awe of your presence, astounded by your grace. But God wants to use you to help other people to be amazed by God's grace as well. That's the fifth purpose for your life. You know, Andrew, one of the disciples, Andrew and Peter, they'd followed Jesus on this wild adventure for 3 years. Just imagine what they saw. I think it would be so fun and challenging at the same time to be a disciple of Jesus when Jesus was on earth. And so they saw Jesus do all these miracles, and he taught them things that they always wanted to know about God. They felt so close to God because Jesus is God. And so it was like their life had been turned from no purpose to purpose, from no life to life, from, you know, and these broken guys finally found wholeness in their life. And so it would have been tempting for them to look at everything that Jesus was doing in their lives and say, Jesus, let's just camp out here. Let's just stay here forever. Jesus, it's just me and you. We'll hang out together and you teach us stuff and do a few cool miracles. Jesus, this is awesome. We love it that we have Jesus. We have you with us all the time. In fact, that's what they wanted to do on the Transfiguration. Jesus took a few disciples up on the mountain and he showed them his glory, and Moses was there and Elijah appeared. And they start having this thing where, Jesus, this is great. Let's stay here. Let's build a cathedral here, and we'll build a house here, and we can all just stay up on this mountain in our holy place. But in reality, it's one of those things where Jesus didn't come to them, and Jesus didn't come for you and for me so that they could just stand around in a holy huddle, soaking up Jesus' blessings all for themselves. In fact, sometimes we come to church and we're singing, stand amazed in your presence, stand amazed in your presence. But what Jesus wants us to do is, as we're getting encouraged in the huddle, that's what we're doing when we're worshiping. We're getting encouraged in the huddle. We're being strengthened in the huddle. And what Jesus wants us to do when we leave from here is to turn back around and to start being the church for the world, to share what we've experienced and what God's doing in our life to other people. Not to be in a holy huddle, but to be sent out into the world. That's what God wants for you. So Jesus' mission, instead of staying there, Jesus went on a mission to save the world. And the only way to do that was to leave the disciples, leave them, die on a cross, and be raised from the dead. That's the only way that could happen. And so near the end of Jesus' life, he turns to these not good enough disciples. I want you to remember that. These were guys who were normal people. They weren't good enough. These were like the second or third string, you know, maybe on the practice team if they were on a football team. But anyway, these were the not good enoughs. And he says to these not good enough disciples in John chapter 20, verse 21, near the end of his life, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And they probably got big eyes. They're like, what do you mean, Jesus? My mission. I'm sending you. How many of you, I think we've all have seen the Olympics on TV. I love the opening ceremonies and just all the spectacle and all the things that happen. And one of the coolest things that happened, I remember in 1996 seeing the Olympics here in Atlanta. One of the coolest things was seeing the passing of the torch. Y'all remember that? Muhammad Ali, it was awesome, up on the top of the torch and all that stuff was going on. So anyway, each person runs with the torch. They're carrying the torch, and people are clapping for them and saying, yeah, USA, you know, all that stuff. Well, they're running with the torch, and all of a sudden they get to a point after they've run their race, they pass the torch on to somebody else. And what do? They run part of the way, and then they pass the torch on to somebody else, and they run, pass it on, and they run. And so what Jesus is really saying here is this: I've come to complete my mission. In fact, when he died on the cross and rose from the grave, he completed his mission. And what Jesus is saying to those disciples is this: I've run my race, and now I'm passing the torch on to you. I want you to now go. Your job is to tell other people about me. Now, I think in my life, you can probably think in your life, I think of so many people who are willing to invest in my life. Not just invest, but people who are willing to get out of their comfort zones and to share about Jesus with me. It was probably as intimidating as it sounds to us, But people in my life who are willing to do that, for me, at an early age, my parents started doing that. We started singing Jesus Loves Me in the car and all sorts of things, learning about Jesus' love. And they probably didn't realize the implications of what they were building in my faith and in my life. But what was happening is God was using them and so many other people to start growing me up into a follower of Jesus. So I would one day say yes to him. And then I think of Nashie and Ruby, people that you don't even know. I know their name just because they were sweet old ladies who would watch me in the nursery at Chamblee First United Methodist, where I got baptized and everything. Nashie and Ruby, they told me about Jesus by the way they lived. I got these little cookies that you can put on your finger, you know, and while I was, you know, nursery all the way to about 3 years old, they would love me and change my diapers, and hopefully not too much when I was three, but they would change my diapers, and they loved me so much, and it was a picture of who Jesus is. Like, why are these ladies spending time with me, changing my diaper and watching me? And it's because they wanted me to know of God's love. And I think of people like my coaches who saw something in me and decided to say, hey, I see something in you. Keep running the race. Keep, you know, and would tell me about their faith. And I remember in the seventh grade when we were in a room at a retreat, and we were at a camp, and there were all these middle school boys sitting around. And instead of talking about girls or football or wrestling, these guys started sharing the gospel to me. They started telling me, and it was really the first time that I heard it in my heart, that you have, in order to be saved, you have to make a decision to be a follower of Jesus. You have to accept the grace Jesus has given you. You don't get on the coattails of your parents' church attendance or membership in a church or anything like that. You're only saved by you saying yes to Jesus and accepting his grace. They preached the gospel to me, and there was probably bad theology in the room, but it was one of those things where I said that night, I want to follow Jesus. And you start thinking of all the different torches that had been passed throughout all of my life. And that was the moment for me when I said, you know what? Because you said that, you shared the gospel with me and told me how to get there, I want to say yes. And I think in your life, here's the thing. I don't know where I'd be if people hadn't done that in my life. But I think that God wants to use you. You may be those very same people in other people's lives. But we've got to be willing to share about who Jesus is to other people. Well, Jesus is, right before he leaves from this earth, he's died on the cross, he rose again, he's getting ready to go into heaven, and he leaves the disciples with this great commission. We've already talked about the great commandment, love God and love people, but then he gives them the great commandment. This is the marching orders of what Jesus, our great commander, wants us to do in the world. And here's what it says. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. If not, no worries, the words will be on the screen. But this is the great commission. This is what God wants you to do, your fifth purpose, and says this. Therefore go, Jesus said, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you may look out and say, well, I can't baptize anybody. I'm not asking you to baptize people. What it means is we're to immerse people into the Trinity of God, into God. And it says in verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus promises that when we go out, that he's with us. And so telling people about Jesus is the mission. But most of us look at the Great Commission and we see it more as a great suggestion. That's really nice, Jesus. That's really good for some people, but not for me. I mean, that's nice that people need to hear about Jesus, but somebody else should do that. It's a good suggestion. That's nice. That's a nice thing to do. If you're reading the book, What on Earth Am I Here For? We're almost through this. It's a 40-day journey that we've been going through. And this week, you're going to read, if you're reading this along with us, Rick Warren talks about if somebody had a cure for cancer. It's crazy. This is a thing that has affected so many people. If somebody found a cure for cancer, and they knew people in their sphere of influence in their life that needed that cure, but they were unwilling to share that with the people that needed it most, that would be criminal. I mean, that would be something, you might get arrested for something like that here. But when it comes to our faith, it's the same thing. People need to know about the Lord. And God has placed his grace into our hands and doing something in our lives. And God wants us to be willing to say, I want to share it with you too. We're going to talk about how to do that as well. And so another way to say this, we say this a lot here at the Fountain. Found people, find people. Found people, find people. I want you to say it after me. Found people. Very good. Yeah, that's good. Found people, find people. See, here's what that means. Once you have been found in Jesus, once Jesus finds you, do you know Jesus has been searching for you and to bring you into a relationship with him since the very beginning of time. And once you've been found in Jesus, Jesus wants you to turn your life over and to introduce other people, help other people to find God as well. And the word for this, the church word for this, is evangelism. Evangelism. Now, some of us don't really like that word, evangelism, because most of the time when we think of evangelism, we think of all the horror stories and all the ways we've seen it done really poorly. And so we look at evangelism, we hear evangelism, and we say, well, I'm not called to that. Or we hear that and we say, well, that's for some people, that's some people's gift, but it's certainly not mine. You know, maybe you've been there before. I know I've been there before. But anyway, evangelism is one of those things where we picture these bad things that people, we picture all these bad methods and we say, oh, that's not me. Maybe you've been to a ball game before and you've seen the bullhorn guy. You know who I'm talking about, the bullhorn guy, the guy that's screaming over a loudspeaker while you're trying to go in and have a good time at the game. I went to a Tennessee game this past, or a couple weeks ago, and the bullhorn guy was out there, and he was telling me everywhere where I'm going and everything that I've done and everything that I need to do in my life, and I'm thinking, man, I'm a follower of Jesus, and like, I would not want to follow this kind of Jesus you're proclaiming. It has nothing to do with the love of Jesus that's the Jesus that we really follow. But yet we see this and we think that's what evangelism is. And when I saw that, when I heard that, I said to myself, if that's what it is, I don't want anything to do with that. And in fact, I was serving at a church one time, and there was this lady who I was talking about evangelism. This lady, sweet lady, came up to me and she said, Andy, you don't understand. I can't go knock on people's doors. I can't do it. It is so awkward. In fact, you can tell they don't want me there. And I was going to tell her, look, if you're coming to my house during a football game, I don't want you there either. Don't come to my house and knock on my door, you know? But what I realized, she was one of the best inviters we had in the entire church. She had brought so many people into the church by just inviting them to come. And so I told her, look, you're already doing evangelism. And she said, what do you mean? And I told her, you know, I'm not asking you when I say evangelism to go pull up a bullhorn. In fact, please don't do that. Don't go yell at people on the street corner. That doesn't work. And I'm not asking you to go and knock on somebody's door who you've never met before and you don't even have Girl Scout cookies and so they're already mad, you know, kind of thing. I'm not asking you to do that. I want you to just keep inviting people the way you've been inviting people. Keep inviting people. And I also want you to keep telling people about what Jesus is doing in your life. And she looked at me and she said, well, that's really easy. Anybody can do that. I said, yeah, you're right. That's what all of us are called to share the good news. All of us are called to be part of evangelism. Evangelism is simply inviting people to come and see Jesus. Come and see Jesus. And so going back to Andrew, you know, Jesus called Andrew. He dropped his nets and everything he had. And the very next thing he does in John chapter 1 is when after he follows Jesus, he goes and he finds his brother Nathanael. Now, I don't know what Nathanael was doing. He was skeptical about this whole thing. But he goes to Nathanael, and the very next thing he does is he found Nathanael, and he brings Nathanael to Jesus. And he was kind of like, I don't know about this. And he told him, here's what I saw. And the next thing he said, Nathanael's like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He found out Jesus was from Nazareth. And all Andrew said to him is this, come and see for yourself. In other words, Andrew didn't lay out the plan of salvation. He didn't tell him everything he'd done and everywhere he's going and all that stuff. And he didn't argue his brother or arm wrestle him into following Jesus or coming to church. He just simply did his part, and he trusted Jesus to do his part. He simply did his part and trusted Jesus to do his. His part was to introduce his brother to Jesus, and Jesus' part was to woo his brother into a relationship with him. And so I want you to never underestimate the power of come and see. Come and see. It's an incredible tool that God gives us. Come and see. And it may be just simply in people's lives that you know, sharing what Jesus is doing in your life. Sharing what Jesus is doing in your life. And so maybe you say, look, here's what Jesus is doing for me. And, you know, I want you to just come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself. And it's so funny what happens so many times when I'm sharing with people about what Jesus does in my life. I'll say something like this, who knows? I mean, Jesus has done all this to me. Who knows? Maybe Jesus can do the same thing in your life. And it's not trying to lean in and put pressure on people, but sometimes the pressure is put on for people to step into a relationship by taking pressure off, by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak into their life. I'm going to say, who knows? Maybe God can do the same thing in your life. And oftentimes that causes people to lean in and say, well, maybe he can. Maybe I'll come with you. Or maybe another great way to do that is to simply invite somebody to church and say, it's simply saying, like, here's what I love. Here's what I love about the Fountain. Here's what God's doing in my life. And so maybe you should just come and see for yourself. Who knows? Maybe you'll like it as well. And it's just as simple as that. In fact, I guess it was last Sunday, we had Selfie Sunday. Selfie Sunday here at the Fountain. If you're not familiar with a selfie, it's okay. There's selfies, you know, where you take a picture of yourself. That's a selfie. There's a groupie, where you take a picture of you and a couple other people. We had Selfie Sunday. It was just a fun way to help you invite people, where people took pictures, they took selfies of one another in worship, posted it on social media, and it's just a great tool to get the word out and to say, hey, this is where I go to church, and we're having a great time, and maybe you should come. So I thought that was a really fun way. We want to help you to do that. Well, I want to tell you a story, and this is not in the Bible. All the other stuff is in the Bible. This is not in the Bible. This is a made-up story, but I think it's funny to imagine. After Jesus raises from the grave, he goes into heaven, and I can just imagine him telling the angels what had happened. You know, he goes to the angels, and he tells them, it's a made-up story. I just died on the cross for the sins of the world, and I rose from the grave. And they're like, that's awesome, Jesus. Yes, the plan of saving the whole world, it's there. It's ready. We're almost there. And he says, yeah. And then I turned to my disciples, and I said, hey, now I'm passing the torch to you. Now it's your job. Go and share the good news about me. And I could just see the angels' faces like, are you serious? Why did you leave it in their hands? I mean, do you see these knuckleheads out here, all these followers of Jesus? They mess up all the time. You're leaving the plan of salvation in their hands? And, you know, you can just hear them, like, laughing about that and say, Jesus, you got to have a backup plan. Jesus, what is your plan B? And I just imagine Jesus looking at those angels and looking at us and saying, there is no plan B. There is no plan B. See, Jesus has done his work. He's died on the cross and made a way for us to have a relationship with him and everybody. And our job, we're plan A, is to get the word out about who Jesus is and invite other people to follow him as well. You know, you may not realize it, but Jesus has placed you in the neighborhood that you're in for a very specific reason. Jesus has placed you in the neighborhood you're in for a reason. In fact, maybe you're looking at your house and maybe you're looking at moving or whatever and saying, I don't like my floors or whatever, you know. Jesus has placed you in the neighborhood you're in for a reason. And Jesus has placed you in the sphere of influence that you're in for a reason. If you're a student, Jesus has placed you in the school that you're in for a reason. In your work field, these aren't just your colleagues anymore. Jesus has placed you in your work and in the sphere of influence you're in for a reason. In fact, God wants to use you in those places, no matter where you are, to fulfill the Great Commission and to point people to him. I saw this all the time when I was in high school and I was playing sports. I was just normal Andy, played football and other sports. And it was one of those things where I was just a normal Christian. I wasn't flying a Jesus flag everywhere I went. But God, by just being who I was and seeing what Jesus was doing in me, people started coming to me and asking me about my faith. And it ended up being an incredible tool, just being where I was, where God wanted me to be. God used that to help other people to move the ball, to push the ball down the field, to help them to grow or to get connected to God. And so I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is at work already in the heart and life of every single person. God's already at work in your spheres of influence. In fact, God has more invested in your ministry than you do. God has more invested in the people in your life than you do. He wants people to know him. That's why Jesus came to this earth. And so because he has more invested in your ministry, Jesus wants us to simply reach out to those people. And remember, he's preparing the way. And so our job isn't to kick a door down and to, you know, fly a big flag of Jesus or get a bullhorn out. And, you know, people don't want to hear that at the ball game. You know, that's not a good way to do it. But we're to simply just show up and pay attention. Show up and pay attention for the open doors that God creates. Show up and pay attention. Here's some signals. Instead of just telling you randoms, you know, telling this stuff, you know, God opening doors. Here's some open doors that I've seen. This may be helpful for you. Here's some cues or some signals that a door is opening for you to share your story or to invite somebody to church. I've heard people say before something like this. So I know you go to church. Or I heard you started going to church. How's that working for you? You know, or you know, does that actually work? And what they're saying is, this Jesus stuff, is it really? What is this all about? And that's an incredible open door. Or sometimes they'll say, hey, I know you've been going to church, but what do you think about it? And sometimes they're not really asking about what's the worship like and is the preacher weird or anything like that. You know that, you know. But it's one of those things where it's an open door where they're trying to say, like, does this make an impact in your life? And when you share what God is doing in your life, because you're connected here, it's not about the fountain. It's about what God's doing. But when you start sharing that, all of a sudden you realize God's opened the door, and all we have to do is walk through that and be willing to share. Another open door is sometimes when we go through tough stuff. People are going through some tough stuff. Maybe somebody's gone through a divorce, or maybe somebody's in a season where they're really, really overwhelmed, or maybe there's a change of job, or even good things like, we just had a baby. You know, one of the things we've seen happen so much at the Fountain, it's so cool how God works, is that when people have a baby and haven't been in church in a while or in a little bit or ever, so many times the Holy Spirit does something in people's heart to say, I think we need to be in church. And so people come in with their kids, and we try to have the absolute best kids ministry. And what we found so many times is the kids come out and they're like, I had an awesome time, Mom and Dad, can I come back? And it's like, okay, this place was weird, but we'll come back because my kids love it. And Jesus starts to grow in people's heart. And so an open door oftentimes is when somebody's going through something in their life. Sometimes they'll say, look, I've been going through a really tough time lately. That's an open door. Not to kick something down, but just to say, look, I've been going to church and this has really helped me. Here's what God showed me and done in my life. Why don't you come and see? Maybe God can do the same thing in your life. You know, the two best ways to share about Jesus with people, I've already said it. Number one is to share your story. Share your story. You know, your story, everybody's got a story. Your story is a huge part of how God wants to use you. In fact, your story of faith and what God has done in your life might be the very thing that can help to connect people to God. You may look at your life and say, I don't have a good story, or you don't want to know my story. Maybe you're saying that. We've all got things like that in our life. But those very things that you discount about your story might be the very thing God wants to use to connect other people, because they've been there too. And they want to know what God has taken you through. Not how you've been perfect your whole life, but what God has taken you through. Because if God did it in your life, maybe they can do it, and maybe he can do it in theirs as well. And so simply sharing your story. In fact, a great place, I want to encourage you to do this week. Pray for God to open a door for you to share your faith journey, what Jesus is doing in your life, or maybe the time when you gave your life to Christ, if you've done that before. Share that. In fact, a great place to start is with your family. You know, one of the incredible tools that you can use is even with your kids, with your youth. You can share your faith journey with them. That's an incredible way to help move the ball down the field in their faith, because they start hearing about, Mom, Dad, you experienced Jesus like that, and you accepted Jesus because of this, and you tell them all the stuff about your story, and they may just look at you and say, at some point in their life, maybe even then, Mom, Dad, I want to do that too. I want to have Jesus in my life too. So you never know what God's going to do with your story. God wants to use your story. And the second thing, the best way to invite people to Jesus is to invite people to just come to church. We preach the gospel every week. Come to church. And you don't have to be weird about it. In fact, if you're going to invite somebody in a weird way, like invite them to another church, you know, yeah, we go to this church over here. I'm kidding. God can use even weird invites and weird things and weird people, thank God, to advance his kingdom and to help people get connected to him. And so all you have to do is just simply tell somebody something you've learned this week. Hey, I was at church. Here's what I learned. And if they ask you a question about it, that's a huge open door. To say, hey, you know, why don't you come with me? Here's what God's doing in my life. And who knows, maybe he can do the same thing in yours. And so God wants you to share about him, because you are the plan to draw people to him. So as we close this series, we've talked about five purposes. What on earth are you here for? This is the fifth one. And I want to just encourage you in this. This is all about the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. All five purposes are in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Every single one of them. That's what God wants you to do. Love God, love people, and make disciples. That's what you're here on this earth to do. In fact, you can even trace this. Great Commandment says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's worship. And then he says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That's ministry and serving other people. And then the Great Commission, we see the other purposes. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's evangelism, sharing your faith. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's fellowship, coming into God's family. And he says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's discipleship, growing people up in the Lord. All five purposes are in the Great Commandment and Great Commission. In fact, Rick Warren says that God wants us to have a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And that's what we want to help you to do with God's help. And so what area in your life do you need to grow most? What area do you need to grow most? Let me pray for you. God, we thank you so much for the love that you have for us. And because you love us so much, you've got a purpose for our lives. God, we thank you that we're not just going to work, making a living, trying to raise good kids, just doing all that and going around the circle and the hamster wheel every week. We thank you that our life actually means something, that you want to do things in our lives and through our lives, maybe even to do the absolute same thing that we've always been doing, but to see it in a completely different way. And so, God, I pray that you would raise up incredible purpose on all of us here. God, we pray that you would encourage us also, that as you've come into our life, to encourage us to go and share the good news, to share the good news, to invite people to come and see Jesus. But God, for some of us in here, we may be looking at this and hearing this and saying, what is this all about? And why do you care about me and sharing with me? And if you never had that opportunity where to realize that God loves you and has a plan for your life, if you've never stepped across that line from unbelief to belief, maybe today's the day. And if you want to step across the line and come into the family of God and have a relationship with this God who loves you so much and has a plan for your life, maybe you would pray something like this. You don't have to pray out loud, but you can pray this in your head and God hears your prayer. But if you want to give your life to Christ, maybe you'd pray this. God, thank you that you love me. Sometimes I don't see how you could, but thank you that you love me. And thank you that you have a plan for my life. It's more than the here and now. God, I don't have all this figured out, but I want to start a relationship with you today. I want to start a relationship. And God, as the Bible says, that we're saved by grace through faith. We're saved because of what you've done for us. That's grace. And it's finalized when we put our faith in you. You've said yes to us, and when we say yes to you. And so God, I pray today, I want to say yes to the grace that you've given me. I just want to receive it. I know I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to be a good enough person or anything like that to be found acceptable in your eyes. All I have to do is receive your grace. And you're going to grow me every single day in my faith. And so, God, I want to give my life to you today. I want to turn from my way of living to your way of living. And I pray you would forgive me of my sins. I know, God, that I'm no longer seen as a sinner in your eyes, but I'm seen as a saint. Hard to even say that, God, but thank you for saving me, that I have a relationship with you forever and ever, starting now. And I'm excited to live forever and ever with you, fulfilling the great commandment and the great commission. I want to tell others about that as well. We ask this in Jesus' name.